gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you're here. And Father, knowing that you've come because of your great love for us, you've come to protect us, Father. You've come to gather us together. You've come to change us. You've come to actually, Father, we put all these things together is because that you love us and you wish never to be departed from us. And so, Father, we know that you're taking us out of here by the renewing of our mind. We know that that renewing of the mind will bring forth a change in our bodies. It brings forth protection to us. And, Father, we realize that you're drawing us into your presence. And so, Lord, we pray that as we are drawn to your presence, that we'll always be with thee from henceforth, even forever. And so, Father, we just commit all these things in the lovely name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you foreshadowed with these great things in mind. And Father, as he became subject to thee in all things, we pray that we also would become subject in all things. And so, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
I'd like to pick up at who is this Melchizedek, and we still have about 30 paragraphs left, and I would like to pick up the pace a little bit if we could. This will be 138 in our series, and I'm going to entitle this Crucifying Afresh the Word of God. Now, from paragraph 163, Brother Branham said, "Dear God, I believe the Scriptures that you have said that you was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as sincerely in my heart, Lord, I know that something's fixing to take place, and I cannot strictly identify it. I'm afraid to say anything, Lord. Thou knowest the heart of your servant. And how many times down through the ages when you sent things, people failed to get it. Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he's going to do, but ignoring what he's doing. So has it been through the ages. Why did the Roman Church fail to see St. Patrick as God's prophet? Why did they kill Joan of Arc when she was a prophetess, burned her as a witch? Father, it's always past. You hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No wonder you said to them, priests, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you're the ones that put them in there. After they're gone, they see their mistakes, and they always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form that you come in." Now, I'd like to take this thought here and break it down into a couple thoughts. There's two things, basically, that he's saying is that the people fail to recognize Jesus Christ and when he's there, and number two, that they end up crucifying to themselves the Lord afresh. Again, number one, they fail to recognize the manifested word, A, because they look back and they look forward. B, he says, because it wasn't fulfilled according to their interpretation. And C, because they are not ordained to understand it. And then the second thing is they end up crucifying the Lord or the Word afresh. A, by rejecting it, which is Hebrews 6, saying no to it. B, they thus try to destroy it. And C, how do they try to destroy it? By misconstruing, misplacing, and misinterpreting the word. Now tonight, I'd like to focus on just part number one, and that is they fail to recognize the word of God when it is manifested to them. So with this in mind, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and begin reading at verse 10. "And when the disciples came, and they said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now we find again the same question in Mark. Hold your finger here though, because we're going to come back to it. But in Mark chapter 4, we find the same question is asked, only it's asked a little bit differently this time. In verse verse 10, he says, "And when he was alone, they that were about with him, with the 12, they asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word." And again we find in Luke chapter 8 a similar story being told. But what I want to do with this is I want to actually show in Luke chapter 8, I believe it is, notice in verse 18, "Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has." So here we find Jesus saying, look, you got to take heed how that you're hearing. And in Mark chapter 4, he says, take heed therefore what you hear. Because Brother Branham said that if you've got a certain kind of filter on your eyes, that's what you're going to see. If you've got a blue filter, you're going to see everything in blue. If you've got a red filter, you're going to see everything in red. He said if you've got a denominational glasses on, then you're going to read this word with a denominational slant. Therefore, take heed how that you hear. Because we know that the scripture tells us that train up a child in the way he'll go, and when he gets old, he'll not depart. So, if you're trained up as a Baptist, then when you get old, you got a Baptist mind. If you're trained up as a Catholic, when you get old, you got a Catholic mind. In other words, you think in terms of what you've been taught. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, fill up the measure of your fathers. For he was a liar from the beginning. And so they fill up the measure of their fathers, and they abide not in truth, and they lie. So, what we're looking at then is that they fail to recognize the Word of God when it is manifested to them. Why? Because number one, we said three reasons, basically. They're not ordained to understand. That's Matthew 13. Number two, because it wasn't fulfilled according to their interpretation. And number three is because they're always looking backward, always looking forward. You see, if we go back to Matthew 13, and we pick up at, let's just pick up the next parable here. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown into their hearts. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So here you have a group of people who are actually going to see something, but they don't understand it. And because they don't understand it, then that thing which was sown in their heart is able to be taken from their heart. All right? Notice, "But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy they receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, and by he's offended." These are people then, because they have nothing in there that's solid, that's anchored. In other words, they come, they hear a good sermon, they applaud, they have good time in church, it's good fellowship, whatever, but because there's nothing solid, there's nothing anchored, there's no root, and we could actually take that root and trace it back and say, look, they have no root. Jesus is the root and offspring. You see? He's the branch. And because they have no root, they have no source in Christ, then they get offended by the word when things come up and they drift away. "He also that receives seed among the thorns, and he that heareth the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and that person, he becometh unfruitful." Notice the word's choked and the person becomes unfruitful. Why? Because there's no word manifesting in that person. Alright? Now, so we see then that they fail to recognize the manifested word because they look backwards, they look forward, because it wasn't fulfilled according to their interpretation, and because they were not ordained to understand. We find in Matthew chapter 25, chapter 12, excuse me, in verse 25, the scripture says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom is divided against itself, is brought to desolation." Excuse me, that's not the right 13. Let's see here. Is that 13:25? No, I must have wrote down the wrong scripture here. Okay. All right.
So, anyway, let's get back to it. Then they fail to recognize the Word of God when it's manifested to them. And we show three reasons, okay? They're just not ordained to recognize it. Number two, it didn't come according to their interpretation. And number three, they look back. And what happens then is because they don't understand it, something takes place. And that thing that takes place is they become blinded to it. They become blinded to it. And we find in Genesis chapter 19, in verse 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. Notice the two preachers that came to Sodom, Brother Branham said the gospel blinds. Now how is it that the gospel blinds? It's because they don't understand. You see, we can turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and we find exactly that's what Paul tells us. Ephesians chapter 4 and reading from verse 17 to 18. Notice he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the blindness of their heart, the darkening, because they don't understand, and it's called blindness there, because they don't understand, they absolutely then turn from God, they walk from God, they reject. And thus by rejecting, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Notice he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Their minds are vain. See, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God. Remember, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, five and verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. In other words, light brings life. And these people, it says that they darken, because of the darkness, they're shut off from the life. Therefore, the Word of God is no longer a living manifestation, but it's simply to them, it's just words. You see? It just becomes words. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 9, Peter says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, notice then, by lacking the word, lacking these things, it brings blindness, it brings a lack of understanding. Simply means the mind is blinded to it. You see? And it's very important for us to understand that because Brother Branham says that our faith begins with a natural. From waters of separation, he said, that's what's the matter with the people today. You come to a church, the water of separation. See, you hear the word, that's very good, you get separated from your sin. But you go out with an intellectual faith. That's the reason that you can't believe. That's the reason you go back out and sin the way that you do. The reason you can't hold up from one revival to the other, if you'd let that intellectual faith move down through your brains into your heart, then it would become a reality with a new birth. Then it'd stay there, anchored forever. You see, God seals you in by the Holy Spirit, and it settles it forever. Get away. Intellectual faith, all right, that's as far as the nominal Christian goes. He hears the word, he believes it. He has a mental conception of it, that's fine. We believe that. But notice, when the man comes to the waters of separation, which was word, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word, he believes that. God wants us to believe it. That's part of it. But that's as far as he ever gets. He never gets into the fellowship yonder. He just comes through the water of separation. And when he comes to that part, he finds a mental conception. Yes, I believe it. I think it in his mind and raise up his hand, he accepts it. And 20 days from there, he's back in the same hut that he was in the first place because it's never went any further than his head. So you see, it begins with the mental faith, but if that's all it goes to, then there's no life. And so we find here, Brother Branham is saying, look, they're always looking forward, they're always looking back, and they're failing to recognize what God is doing, and thus they end up crucifying to themselves the Lord afresh. Okay, we find in Romans
Romans chapter 11. And reading from Romans 11:15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the, let me see here. Okay, in this chapter, Paul talks about Israel being blinded, and there's a purpose for the blinding, and that was for the fact of the Gentiles coming in. But the thing I want to show here, just by reading the scripture, is the fact that look, God does blind, but we find out that the blinding is actually a cutting off of understanding. Now, the fact is then that because God did certain things in certain ways in at one time, then God comes down the scene and he does it a little bit differently, even though he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he does it differently because he has a different plan for that age, such as in Noah's day, they built an ark. In Moses' day, if they would have waited to build an ark at the Red Sea, it would have been a wrong plan. It wasn't God's plan for that day. You see? And so by looking back, they blind themselves to what is present. In Jesus' day, they said, well, we don't need you, we got Moses. And he said, if you were to believe Moses, you'd believe me because he spoke of me. You see? So the looking back then blinds. We find in Revelation 3, verse 17, he says, Laodicea is blind. Why? It's the people looking back. Always looking back, always looking forward, failing to recognize what God is doing in their midst. You see? All right. Now, Brother Van said that they fail to recognize the Word of God when it was manifested to them, because they look back, they look forward, it wasn't fulfilled according to their understanding or their interpretation of it being fulfilled, what they were taught, and because they were ordained not to understand it. Now, just a few more things here. Brother Branham said that they are always looking forward, always looking backward, and failing to recognize recognize the Word as it comes to pass. And we find in John chapter 6, in reading from verse 59 to 66, notice what happens when they reject what Jesus has to say to them. He says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard these things, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except my Father, except it were given him unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and they walked no more with him. Now, not only did they go back, but they cut themselves off from presence, from his presence. We find in Isaiah chapter 28, and reading from verse 8, for all tables, all pulpits are full of vomit, fruit from another day, and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he teach, the Rotherham says, the message? And to whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Whom shall he, the NIV says, whom shall he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? I don't think so. Not just little babes. You see? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people.
to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Notice, they would not hear. Self-will. But the word of the Lord then shall become unto them precept upon precept. In other words, rules upon rules. Rules upon rules. See, the NIV says do and do, do and do. Rule and rule, rule and rule. Conduct, order, and doctrine. Like Brother Hoffman said, you know, you say, you ever notice these churches in the message, he said, they're just preaching focus on the family. He said, you can't tell the difference between them from what they preach in a Baptist church. You can't. Except for the way the women are dressed. They have long hair and dresses. You hardly find a long-haired woman in a Baptist church. And if you do, she might have a pair of shorts on. Well, what is it then that we believe? You know, if we don't have the doctrine, then what have we got? We have nothing. Long hair and dresses. That's it. But notice he says, but the word of the Lord will become unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Taken what? Taken captive. Imprisoned. Talking about tribulation. Now we all know that there were three exoduses, and in each of the exoduses the people wanted to go back. In Moses' day they said, we want the leeks, we want the guards, we were happy in Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. God took care of them. Basically, he didn't let them go on to the promised land. 2 million people. In Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2, Paul tells us, in his day, that the men of the Pharisees, he's called them brethren, he said, and there were some believers that came in who were Pharisees, so he's telling us that they really weren't believers, but they came in, they tried to bring the people back to circumcision, back to the law. Always wanted to go backwards. See, Brother Barron said they always look backwards, always look forward, but they fail to recognize what God's doing. And of course we have in this day, what do they want to do? They want to go back to Pentecost. So you see, what Brother Barron is saying here then, is that he said, dear God, I believe the scriptures that you have said that you was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and as sincerely in my heart that I know, Lord, I know there's something fixing to take place, and I can't strictly identify it. I'm afraid to say anything, Lord. Thou knowest the heart of your servant. And how many times, down through the ages, when you sent things, people fail to get it. Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he's going to do. Just listen to their sermons. Oh, God's going to do this. He's going to do that. What's he doing now? That's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. I'm interested in today. What's God doing right now? You see? But he's going, constantly praising God for what he did, saying what a great thing that he's going to do, but ignoring what he's doing. So has it been down through the ages. Why did the Roman Church fail to see St. Patrick as God's prophet? They do now. They have St. Patrick's Day and everything else. Why did they kill Joan of Arc when she was a prophetess? They burned her as a witch. Well, they looked to her now as a prophetess. They even dug up those priests and threw their bodies in the river. What great penance the Catholic Church did, you know. He says, Father, it's always the past. You hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Notice, you hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No wonder you said to them, priests, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you're the ones that put them in there. And after they're gone, they see the mistake. They always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form you come in. Because he's the I Am. Look at the message today. There's almost 1 million believers who claim the message. And you have every single form of false doctrine in this message that you can think of. But they all love Brother Branham. They all respect Brother Branham, but they hate what he taught. They hate what he taught. I remember some time ago, it's been several months ago, and there was a little chat room on the internet, and they were talking about things that some Baptist minister or somebody said, and they thought maybe that was pretty good. And the question was something that had to do with ham, and why he was cursed. And they said, because, you know, he saw his father's nakedness. And they tried to say, well, you know, that's because he had, you know, sexual relations with Adam's wife. I mean, I'm not Adam's wife, with Noah's wife, you know, with their mother. And then, of course, they said, well, that sounds pretty good, you know, because the Bible says, you know, see the nakedness of your wife, you know, that means that you know, this and that. And so I wrote, and I said, well, you know, y'all take the advice of a Baptist, but I said, Brother Branham told Brother Vail that it was because he performed a homosexual act on his father. Now, they wrote back to me and said, you're off the word. I wrote back, I said, well, you might say I'm off the word, but I'm just saying what Brother Branham said. You'll find out the judgment day if I'm right or not. They don't want the doctrine. Now, if I would have said Brother Biscoe told me that Brother Branham told him, or if I would have said Perry Green told me Brother Branham told him, it would have been all right. But having used Brother Vail's name, they don't like that. They hate him. Now, why do they hate him? Because he tells the truth. Because he preached the doctrine. And the people in this message don't want doctrine. So, they're always looking backwards. What did God do in the 1960s? What's God going to do down here in the future? And they're failing to recognize the opening up of the minds of the bride. They're failing to recognize what God has done and is doing. And they won't even look at the doctrine. They don't want the doctrine. Now, how can you say that you got the message when you don't have the doctrine? It's beyond me. From the message, what shall we do with Jesus? Brother Branham said, all's written in the book will escape it. Now, we find out that the little flock is ready for the dynamics to move it up into the skies to escape all this tribulation. Someone said the other day when I was talking, said, Brother Branham, you don't believe when the church will go through the tribulation. You don't believe then that the church will go through the tribulation. I said, I believe the church will, but not the bride. The church will go through the tribulation, yes, sir, but the bride's free from it. She'll go in the rapture, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, she'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air for the wedding supper. She has nothing to go through any tribulation about. Her Lord has paid her price. We're so thankful for that, yes, sir. And after the resurrection of both church and nation, there was only one cry, come. The next move was, get rid of it. And after the rejection of both church and nation, there was only one cry, came. The next move was, get rid of it. That's the next cry that we have. The church has firmly turned down the Holy Spirit. We know it has. Old members has come out of everything. That's the great call. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran. But the church itself, the denominations, it cannot move. No, sir, it's already denominated. That what's the thing of it is now is crucify it. What? Crucifying afresh. What? Be a vindicated word to be the truth. God's word crucified afresh. Just as Eve corrupted the whole physical world by rejecting one little bit of God's word, so has the church did the same thing. You say, you may say to me, Brother Branham, you've got the wrong interpretation of it. Well, that's to your opinion. God don't need an interpreter. God's his own interpreter. That's what the trouble of it today. We've got too many man-made interpreters. God cannot interpret it himself. His own vindication of his word is the interpretation. The Pharisees might have cried out too. We got the interpretation, and the Sadducees. Well, we got it. But Jesus was the interpretation, and they turned down him. And if they turned down him, they turned down the interpretation of the word. If Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him, and they turned down that, they're turning down him. They're turning down the one knocking at the door. They're turning down the judge. You see? They're turning down the interpretation of what he said. And if he said, my ministry is to declare him, that he is here, then they're turning down Godhead and they're turning down presence. Where does that leave them? Nothing. The manifestation of God's revealed power promise is the vindication. Read the scriptures and see what the church is supposed to be today. Yes, sir. God don't need an interpreter. That's what they done to Jesus. They found out back there that they thought he didn't have the interpretation. But he was the interpretation. God didn't have to interpret it. Jesus' life interpreted it. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. If the works that were spoken of his day don't manifest itself in me, he said, then don't believe it. And yet they can profess that they love Jesus. They profess in Jesus' day that they had Moses. You see, they're always able to accept it after the fact. But they can't take God in His full expression. And so you've got all these so-called Bible instrument and whatever you've got out there, and they want to castigate Brother Branham, and they don't realize that they're turning down God's Word that was made manifest in this hour. And now we've got people in this message that can look back and say, oh, we believe Brother Branham. We believe Brother Branham. But we don't want doctrine. Then they're turning down the manifestation of God. Oh, yeah. And Brother Branham said that he's not his own father, and they say he is his own father. And Brother Branham said that the body was not deity, and they say that the body was deity. You see what they're doing? They're crucifying the Word. And by misinterpreting, by misplacing, by misquoting, by all those five must nots, they take the Word and they bring a rejection to the Word, and they're actually crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. And that is the key to studying the message in the day of the hour. God's visitation here in this hour, the time of God, the time, the hour, the season, Brother Branham said, you've got to know those things. And time again, I hear Brother Branham tell us that the manifestation of God's Word is His interpretation. Now, Jesus said, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe the works, the vindication, and as Brother Branham said, they didn't want to turn down their own interpretation when Jesus was the interpretation. They didn't want to turn down their interpretation. But they turned down the real interpretation. And I think that I can be so bold as to say that Brother Branham was God's interpretation to us in this hour. Look at the ministry. My ministry is to declare him that he's here. His whole ministry was based on two things. Teaching us about the one who's here. And showing us that one who is here. And the manifestation of God's Word is the interpretation of it. And God doesn't manifest His Word to just put on a show. I've been saying that for years now, that we are headed for judgment like we've never seen it before. Because if God would strike the earth with plagues for a rejection of an incomplete Word, then how much more when the fullness of the Word has come? If 1/4 of the world's population died from tuberculosis after turning down Martin Luther's message, and 1 billion people, or about 1/3 of the world's population, were struck down with Spanish influenza because they turned down the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then what about turning down the baptizer himself? What about their turning down the shout? What about their turning down the rapture message? And the change that will bring us, that'll bring on, that'll be brought on. What has the world got to look forward to? From the angel in his commission, Brother Bass said, if I come here to Phoenix in the name of a prophet, and I do not the things that a prophet does, then don't believe me. But if I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of prophecy, and as his servant, and I do those things that are written of his servants, then you believe me. Will you do that? If the deaf don't hear, and the dumb don't speak, and the blind don't see, and the cripples don't walk, if prophecies of sin isn't foretold, and the people in your sins from the time that you was a child foretold, then believe that this angel that come to me is false, and I'm false with it. But if it manifests itself here on the platform before you, and you believe it, and repent of your sins and disbelief, for the hour of his visitation is drawing near. That's right. For he only does these things to confirm his word. Before any judgment ever was sent to the earth, God sends forth and warns the people. That's right. And friends, you listen to my word. If it's in touch with God, one of the greatest judgments that's ever hit all the world is on its road. Now remember that. Someday I'll be gone. But you remember, many of you young people, and some of you older ones, you will see that I have told you the truth. That's right. Now, from Melchizedek the Prince, he said, healing of the body doesn't become a fiction, it becomes a reality. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't become an emotional worked-up substance, it becomes a reality of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to change a life. So what we're talking about then is, look, because they don't have a reality, they turn it down. Because the doctrine is not a reality to them, it's just an intellectual faith. It's just an intellectual understanding. Look, what is faith? Faith is revelation. Now look, Peter said to Jesus, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Son of God. Jesus turned to him and said, Simon, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Right? A couple of minutes later, Jesus said, you know, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to be, it's expedient. The Son of Man is going to go away. They're going to put him to death and stuff. And Peter said, far be it from that. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Peter had expressed a revelation. A few minutes later, he expressed something from the devil out of the same mouth. But until that revelation moves into here and becomes dynamized by the Holy Spirit, it's just a mental faith. Same vessel. Moved by God to speak, moved by the devil a minute later to speak. From proof of his resurrection, he says, they didn't understand what that meant. It blinded their eyes. His miracles and things blinded their eyes, and so is it today. The same things will blind the eyes of the carnal mind because it can't understand the things of God. It's against God. It's an enemy of God. The human mind is an enemy to God. You've got to get out of your own mind, a human mind, and be born anew by the Holy Spirit and get the mind of God in you. Then you can believe those things. Then it becomes a reality to you. From the infallibility of God's Word, it says, and every time God makes a thought, it's a creation, and when He speaks, it becomes a reality. So every word of this Bible is God's spoken creative thought, and every time it's taken into the right ground, it'll be made manifest. Amen. Then all the spooks drop away, every shadow moves, and we stand anchored. Nothing can shake you then. See? All the superstition and ups and downs has passed away then, and we're right on the Word. God can't do nothing but honor that Word. He has to keep it. It's Him. The Word is God. So what's He saying? How does it all tie together? Basically, Brother Branham is saying, look, in the one place we read from Melchizedek, he said they don't understand it. They don't see it. They're so busy looking back. They're so busy looking forward. They're failing to recognize what God's doing. You see, because when they see the Word, because it didn't come according to their interpretation, it's not a reality to them. But see, if you come to God with a true heart and full assurance, and you look to the Word and you see it in the Word, then you see it come to pass, it's a reality to you. You see? Because then what? You've got the right interpretation in your mind. You see, it doesn't matter what's not in your mind, it matters only what's in your mind. Because if it's not in your mind, it'll not drop to your heart. If you have the wrong interpretation in your mind, it'll never drop to your heart anyway. You can have the right scripture in your mind, but if it's in your mind wrong, it won't drop into your heart and become a reality. I hope that makes sense to you. From Matthew 13, verse 18 to 23, it says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casteth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that receiveth the word and anon with joy receives it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed into the among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Actually, it says he becomes unfruitful. And he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth fruit with patience, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now you notice that the first group mentioned are those who hear the word, but because they do not understand it, the devil is able to step in and take what understanding they did have, or they did receive, away from them. And thus they just simply fall away from the truth. Then there are those who hear the word, but when the trials begin, they can't take it. And because they too do not really understand what it is all about, they give up, and they too fall away from the truth. Then we have the Laodicea bunch, who get caught up into the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches, and these things choke off the word, and it cannot bring forth in these people what it was meant to bring forth. These are the foolish virgin who run, but do not finish the race. They are caught in the trap called the deceitfulness of riches. Money, 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 the root of all evil. And notice that these riches are called deceitful. And since this group does not have a full understanding, they too fall short of receiving the true word of God, which is His Holy Spirit into their hearts, and thus they come up short. But notice the group that comes up all the way into the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who hear the word and they understand it in their hearts. And because they understand it, they are not caught up by the deceitfulness of riches. They are not choked off, but they are focused. And they are ready, and thus the word brings forth fruit in them, some even 100-fold. So you can see how important understanding is to the believer. And that's why Eve fell. Notice Eve did not have understanding. She knew better than to partake with the serpent, because she was told that she told the serpent that we must not eat of the forbidden tree. It's cursed. And yet the serpent pulled one over her eyes and got her to eat anyway. Now he didn't tell her that her understanding was wrong entirely. But he did tell her that she just didn't have quite the full understanding of the picture. And so he explained it away from her. And so she stepped out from behind the protection of the word, and she fell for his interpretation or his understanding of the word of God, which is wrong. And that is exactly why we are warned that this will happen in 2 Peter 2. He says, false prophets were among you, false teachers will come in among also. They will bring in alongside of them destructive heresies, even denying the one that purchased them. And these men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the word, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the word of truth. And what happened? The message has become focused on the family. That's why you have the family camps and all these other things. Why don't they have the doctrine camps? You know, I might do that. I might say, we're going to have a family doctrine camp. We'll have a doctrine camp. Everyone wants to come to a doctrine camp. We're going to indoctrinate you into the message. I bet you we don't get any takers. I bet you no one will come. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We realize, Lord, that it's not focused on the family, but it's focused on Christ. He that has not the doctrine of Christ doesn't even have God. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to this, and we ask you, Lord, that you be with us, keep us, maintain us, and see us through in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing in closing that song, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee, The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee. And I believe Sarah has a little treat for everyone afterwards. It's her 4-H project, I believe. And is this the one you got first place in? Second? Okay, she got second on this one, so.